This is a Kim Munson Liberty and Economy briefing. Oil-driven inflation lifts the 10-year Treasury to an 18-month high. Brent crude futures crossed $100 a barrel Thursday, and the 10-year Treasury note closed at 4.71%, its highest since January 2025. Mortgage specialist Lorne Levy, a sponsor of the show, traces how a barrel of crude reaches a homebuyer's monthly payment and expects the Federal Reserve to hold rates when it meets Tuesday and Wednesday. Denver, the 10-year U.S. Treasury note closed Thursday at 4.71%, its highest level since January 2025, according to Treasury Department daily yield data. Brent crude futures crossed $100 a barrel the same afternoon. Those two numbers are joined by a chain that ends at a kitchen table, and Lorne Levy, a mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group, walked it end-to-end Friday on The Kim Munson Show. Levy is a sponsor of the show. The Federal Open Market Committee meets Tuesday and Wednesday, and Levy told guest host Marshall Dawson that his concern runs toward tightening rather than easing. "I'm more concerned that they raise," Levy said. He expects the committee to sit still for now. "I think they'll probably do nothing next week just because there's so much uncertainty," he said, and a few moments later he ruled out the move buyers have been hoping for. "But I definitely don't expect them to lower rates." Levy's argument begins at the gas pump and refuses to stay there. People notice the price of fuel, but he pointed out that the same barrel is embedded in nearly everything else they buy. "Oil is in plastics," he said. "Oil is in a lot of things that we use on a daily basis, especially that we buy at the grocery store. And oil is every part of diesel fuel, which is in the trucks that gets everything to the grocery store. When the barrel gets more expensive, somebody absorbs it. The prices either have to be eaten by either the manufacturer or the shipper, or it has to be passed through," he said. "The barrel has gotten a great deal more expensive in 3 weeks." On the Energy Information Administration's spot series, West Texas Intermediate bottomed at $69.60 on July 6 and Brent at $68.53 on July 2. By July 2, the agency had WTI at $84.38 and Brent at $86.29. Futures have run further still. On Thursday, after reports of attacks on tankers in the Red Sea and comments by President Donald Trump about a possible strike on Iran, Brent futures settled at $100.69 and WTI futures at $92.19, CNBC reported, with Brent futures crossing $100 for the first time since May 26. Drivers are already paying for it. The national average for regular gasoline bottomed at $3.777 a gallon the week of July 6 and has climbed 2 weeks running to $4.01 as of July 20, EIA weekly retail data show. That is 22 cents in 2 weeks. None of this began this month. Military action in the Middle East on February 28 and the subsequent de facto closure of the Strait of Hormuz sent front-month Brent futures from $61 a barrel at the start of the year to $188 at the end of March, EIA reported, the largest quarterly increase on an inflation-adjusted basis in data going back to 1988. Futures stayed at that altitude deep into the spring, touching $11.18 again on April 29, and began a sustained decline only from May 18, as negotiated ceasefires held and a mid-June memorandum of understanding between the United States and Iran sought to resume traffic through the strait. Brent bottomed at $72 on June 26. The renewed strikes of the past 2 weeks have undone much of that relief. The Kim Munson Newsroom covered the first leg of this story in May, when the war's oil shock reached Metro Denver kitchen tables and closing tables. Energy remains the loudest line in the inflation data. Even after a 5.7% one-month drop in June, the energy index sat 15.7% higher than a year earlier, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported on July 14. That release covers June, and the run in crude since then has not yet reached any published inflation reading. The step most homebuyers never see is the one Levy spends his days inside. A bank that writes a mortgage rarely keeps it. "The bank is lending you money, but then they will sell that loan off," he said, "and the mortgage-backed securities built from those loans then compete for buyers against a government bond the market treats as carrying no default risk." The people buying those securities want a premium for the risk of foreclosure or loss, because U.S. Treasuries technically have no risk, because they're covered by the U.S. government's promise, Levy said. Levy said he prices that gap directly against the Treasury yield. I'm going to add a couple points to that for a risk premium. And so as the guaranteed payout goes up, so does my mortgage rates because the risk premium is added on top of that. What sets the whole chain in motion, he said, is the bond market's reaction to inflation. Inflation is what is driving the interest rates and mortgage rates, Levy said, and the Treasury note is where that reaction registers first. The note has moved a long way this year. On February 27, the last trading session before the strikes began, the 10-year closed at 3.97%. Thursday's 4.71% is 74 basis points higher, and Treasury's 2025 series puts the last close at or above that level on January 14, 2025. Retail mortgage rates have yet to register Thursday's move. Freddie Mac's primary mortgage market survey put the 30-year fixed at 6.58% as of July 23, up from 6.55% a week earlier, with the 15-year at 5.96%. The survey averages rates offered from the prior Thursday through Wednesday, so its window closes before Thursday's jump in the Treasury market. A year ago, the 30-year averaged 6.74%, which leaves the 30-year down 16 basis points from where it stood last July, even after the past 3 weeks. For a buyer, the arithmetic is unforgiving. It limits the amount of money people want or maybe qualify for a mortgage payment, Levy said. It raises their monthly payment, and it makes them think harder about how much they can afford on a house or what they want to spend. At its most recent meeting, the committee stood pat. On June 16-17, it kept the target range for the federal funds rate at 3.75% on a unanimous 12-0 vote, according to the FOMC statement, which said inflation remains elevated relative to the committee's 2% goal, in part reflecting supply shocks that have driven price increases in certain sectors, including energy. The same statement described economic activity expanding at a solid pace, despite elevated uncertainty that owes, in part, to the conflict in the Middle East. Levy's read on the committee starts with who now chairs it. Kevin Warsh took office as chairman on May 22, succeeding Jerome Powell, who remains a sitting governor. Levy recalled the pressure the president had put on Powell to cut rates and said many people expected the new chairman to go along with what the White House wanted. In Levy's reading, Warsh has held his own ground. He's really proven to be independent, Levy said. He's proven in history to be a really smart man. Warsh delivered the semi-annual monetary policy report to Congress on July 14 before the House Financial Services Committee, submitting identical remarks to Senate Banking the following day. He put the inflation question in blunt terms. The members of our committee have no tolerance for persistently elevated inflation, Warsh said in his prepared testimony, and we share a resolute commitment to restoring price stability. He also singled out the sector this story lands on. The housing sector, however, gives a different picture and continues to lag. The readings the committee will weigh Tuesday still sit above its 2% goal. The Bureau of Economic Analysis put the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index up 4.1% over the year through May, with core PCE up 3.4%. Consumer prices rose 3.5% over the 12 months ending in June, down from 4.2% the month before, with core prices up 2.6%, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported. The next PCE release lands July 30, the day after the meeting ends. Levy had one more piece of advice, and it was about how to read the news itself. This news is given nationally, and it's very much localized, he said of coverage showing foreclosures on the rise. He described checking where his own state landed in the rankings, and Colorado did not appear among the states with the highest rates. He also cautioned against reading a ranking as a verdict on severity, since a state can top the list while its actual rate stays low. Adams Midyear 2026 U.S. Foreclosure Market Report, released July 16, ranks state foreclosure rates for the first 6 months of the year. Florida posted the nation's worst rate at 0.27% of housing units, followed by South Carolina at 0.26%, Indiana and Delaware at 0.25%, and Illinois at 0.23%. Colorado's rate of 0.15%, one filing for every 657 housing units, sits below the national rate of 0.16%, or one in every 632. Levy's counsel to buyers watching the 10-year climb is to stop watching it. A rate can be changed later, he said, while the years spent waiting cannot be recovered. If you want to buy a home and the rates are higher, you can buy it now, because you're locking in the highest rate you'll ever have if you buy it now, Levy said. We can be more nimble and pivot on the lending side and get that payment down should rates drop. Waiting for a lower rate, he said, makes sense only when the payment at today's rate is genuinely out of reach. We can fix the rate later. And now, Kim's perspective. Every young family sitting down at a closing table this summer is paying for decisions made a long way from that table. A war moves the price of oil. The price of oil moves inflation. Inflation moves the treasury market. And the treasury market decides what that family owes every month for the next 30 years. Almost none of that chain is theirs to touch, and yet the entire bill arrives at their address. When a government borrows and spends and intervenes abroad on the scale ours does, the cost comes home in the ordinary places, in a grocery cart, a gas tank, and a mortgage payment. Sound money and a foreign policy of restraint are housing policy, whether anyone in Washington ever calls them that. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson Liberty and Economy Briefing.